Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of one of our favorite guests, and that's Pastor Joe Schimmel, who has a church there in Southern California. And basically, he's put together a lot of great DVDs, certainly the one I mentioned a few minutes ago. They sold their souls for rock and roll, but we carry a number of his other DVDs, and you can certainly get that if you get one of our catalogs and find out what they are. But tonight, Pastor Joe wants to talk about a movie that really had a tremendous impact on our society, a 3D movie that was nominated for a number of Academy Awards, and I didn't get any of them. Actually, the director's wife got most of the major awards, but the movie Avatar was certainly one of the greatest sources of income, of the most profitable films ever made. Joe, thanks very much for being with us and talking about Avatar, because a lot of people could see that motion picture, but they would never understand the spiritual message behind it.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you, Dr. Stan. And yeah, since Avatar, I thought, you know, since it's the highest grossing movie of all time now, it's the most successful movie of all time now, I think it's appropriate to talk about it, because many Christians that I've talked to just thought, oh, it's a great movie, and it's usually, you know, what you hear in regard to it. However, you know, sometimes they'll say, yeah, but you know what, it was a bummer that they, you know, worshiped the tree, that wasn't good, but otherwise it's a great movie and the effects were great and what have you. And it breaks my heart, because what people don't realize is it was basically, you know, almost 3 hours of, you know, a three-hour commercial for the coming one-world religion prophesied in the Bible and the coming Antichrist. And it's amazing, because I had several people that I knew were going to see it, and some of them said, hey, you know what, don't tell me what it's about. Let me see if I can figure it out. And virtually they all came back basically saying, yeah, you know what, I definitely saw the paganism, the worship of the tree, Awa, and what have you. But many of them, or I should say all of them, missed a central theme to that movie, which I believe is more than just, you know, circumstantial evidence, is that it was actually a commercial advocate. It's almost as though James Cameron read through the book of Revelation and depicted the Antichrist in the main character, Jake Sully. And if we can get into that, I'd love to get into that, as well as the world religion that's being promoted there, because it wasn't just a world religion. It was also a world dictator that would come to save the world. And the imagery used in regard to this, to Jake Sully, who's this Marine who, you know, is basically working for an evil corporation, and he basically turns on the corporation when he finds out that they want to rape Pandora and, you know, turn it into basically a minefield for, you know, resources that that we no longer have on Earth, because we've, you know, raped the Earth of its resources, therefore we must go to the Navi people and take their resources. He becomes a turncoat. He turns against the corporation and becomes one of the Navi. But it's interesting when you look at the imagery. I don't want to get too far ahead, but a lot of the imagery that's going on there. But Dr. Stan, you know very well that there is a definite movement afoot right now, not only in movies and music, but in politics and the UN, to bring forth a religion that promotes the worship of creation rather than the Creator.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be very interested in your thoughts on this. Now, I'll have to admit, I haven't seen the movie. I don't want to put the money out to help finance it. We'll probably watch it, though, when it comes out on DVD. But yes, the reason I want to see it is because I want to see what the enemy is doing. I'm sure, you know, when a motion picture gets this much play, it has to have a message. And what people don't understand is that everything we see or hear or read is implanted in our subconscious and becomes part of who we are. This is why you want to be very careful what you watch, what you listen to, what you let your children watch and listen to. Because, of course, the world is changing, because the media is being used to change our worldview. Joe, you go right ahead.
Okay. Okay, great, Dr. Stan. You know, it's amazing when you see the movie. I mean, just the title of it, Avatar, and there's a Christ figure in it. But when you think of the term Avatar, you know, a Hindu word, that's associated with the New Age Christ, the Aquarian Christ. In fact, Benjamin Cramme calls the coming New Age Messiah the, quote, Avatar of the Aquarian Age. And Blavatsky also used that terminology, Alice Bailey, of the coming New Age Messiah. Now, it's important for people to understand that the Bible warns about this coming false Christ, this false Messiah. Even in the days of the apostles, they talked about the spirit of Antichrist that was already at work preparing the way for the ultimate Antichrist. And John says in 1 John 2, you've heard that Antichrist is coming, singular. Even now there are many, plural, in the world. And in 1 John 4, he talks about the spirit of Antichrist. What's interesting, the scriptures talk about in 2 Thessalonians 2, this coming man of sin who will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, and that he will, you know, receive world worship and what have you. And the scriptures talk about how he'll persecute Christians and Jews, and it'll be a full-blown deception. The Bible calls it a strong delusion that'll come upon the whole world. What's interesting is just as Jesus Christ had the prophecies about him in the Old Testament coming to pass, and he fulfilled those in his first coming, and there's more to come in his second coming when he comes to defeat the Antichrist. What's amazing about those prophecies, it wasn't only the prophecies, but it was also a prophet in his time, John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord as it was prophesied in the Old Testament. Well, it's interesting because the Antichrist has a lot of John the Baptist-type figures. Benjamin Cram has been called the John the Baptist of the, you know, New Age Christ, preparing the way for this New Age Messiah. In fact, you're familiar, Dr. Stan, he took out full-page ads in so many major newspapers years ago announcing that the Messiah or the Christ or the Avatar was now here. And it's interesting that he's come into the forefront again with advertising on CNN and other places about this coming Christ, who, as I've quoted, he also calls the Avatar. Now, what's interesting, when you look at the Avatar in the movie Avatar, he is very much a New Age Christ. And the imagery that's used is absolutely amazing. And you're familiar with David Spangler, who talks about this occult savior who will show us our inner divinity, reveal to us that we are God. And he's called the Angel of Man's Evolution. And Lucifer comes to give us, he says, the final gift of wholeness.
He was the one who wrote about the Luciferian initiation.
Right. Yeah, those are his exact words. The Luciferian initiation that would come. That's right. When the New Age Christ emerges. Now, these aren't, you know, just off the wall New Agers. This is the New Age eschatology. Those New Agers that hold some kind of eschatology typically believe in this coming New Age Christ.
Well, hold that thought, Joe. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris Joe is simply talking about the fact that there's a great deal of talk now within the New Age movement that the Christ, they call it the Christ, or Maitreya, but basically we would call it the Antichrist, is coming, and certainly Benjamin Krem in the past has talked about how, you know, the Christ is here, but he's been, that was in the early 80s, but suddenly, and I read his publications, Share Magazine, the other things he puts out, and he is quite open. The Christ is here and is about to come forward, and certainly David Spangler, who has written extensively, is a New Ager, written about the Luciferian initiation that will come when the Antichrist presents himself. They understand that what they refer to as the Christ is really the Antichrist and is actually Lucifer. But go right ahead.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because they deny that Jesus is the Christ. They'll say, hey, yeah, Jesus was a Christ, but the Christ spirit is a spirit that will descend on other people, you know, the 12th Imam or the Maitreya, and, you know, the Messiah for the Jews, the Christ for the Christians, the Krishna for the Hindus, the Imam for the Muslims and what have you. So what they're doing is they're saying, hey, there's this universal Christ that's going to fulfill the aspirations of, you know, all people. And what's interesting is the Bible warns that Jesus isn't just a Christ, but the Bible states that he is the one and only, for God so loved the world, the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten Son, not one of many, that whoever believes him should not perish but have eternal life. And in John 20:30 through 31, we get John's thesis as to why he wrote the book. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And in 1 John 2:22 it says, who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. So the very doctrine of Antichrist is perpetuated by the New Age movement by denying that Jesus is the unique Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and that there are many Christs. So it sets people up. It denies, it does two things at once. It denies simultaneously who the true Christ is, the true Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then it greases the skids for those to be deceived to thinking that another man can be the Christ who is not the Messiah. Now, this is important because Jesus gave many warnings in his longest message, the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, even a little bit longer than the Sermon on the Mount when you compare a parallel text in the passage. They ask him what will be the sign of his coming at the end of the age, and four different times he warns them about spiritual deception. He warns them if they say I'm in the wilderness, you know, don't believe it. In fact, right now, Ahmadinejad is, we have footage of it, of a well not far from Tehran, where he's visited, who he claims to be the 12th imam. And Iranian, you know, public radio, which is basically pretty much all they have as far as, I mean, it's blasted throughout Tehran and what have you, they're basically preparing the people for this 12th imam as well. It's interesting because Muslims deny that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe, you know, that Allah has no son. They're on the Temple Mount, where the temple could possibly be rebuilt right on that spot. The Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque both state that, you know, Allah is the only one God, and Muhammad is his prophet, and he has no son. It's just like an absolute go-out-of-your-way denial of who the real Messiah is. And it's interesting because I've got proof that Islam was actually influenced by Gnosticism. Some of the writings in the Quran were taken from the Gnostic Gospels. And the Gnostics today are the Neo-Gnostics, are the New Agers. It's interesting when you look at the religious left, so to speak, you look at Hollywood. They're not only pushing these New Age lies, denying that Jesus is the Messiah, and pushing these other messiahs, but they're also very friendly to Islam. But listen to what it says in Acts 1:11. It says, "Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky?" This is in context. Jesus had just ascended. "This same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." They physically saw him go into the clouds, and he'll physically return in the same way. Jesus said it would be like lightning shining from the east to the west. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he comes with clouds. Every eye will see him, they also which pierced him. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." I think I'm quoting from the King James there. But every single eye will see him at his return. It will be obvious that he's coming. It'll be a great trumpet, lightning shining from the east to the west. It won't be a secretive thing. It'll be, as Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. He talked about the Son of Man coming to the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So there's a huge difference between this figure that will rise, be born of a woman, rather than the second coming of Christ, who was already born of Mary, who will grow up and assume political power and then be revered. But the incredible thing about the movie Avatar, Dr. Stan, as far as the imagery goes, Jake Sully, when he gets to this place, Pandora, he's there first as an agent to try to get to know the people so they can mine this place called Pandora. And all of a sudden he gets a heart for the people. They're associated with, you know, kind of American Indian. He's trying to kind of give you a little parable of what happened to the American Indians here in the United States and capitalism being the boogeyman and everything and you know, pushing socialism and what have you. But what's interesting in that picture, when Jake Sully assumes this role and he's got this body, this kind of hybrid body that he basically possesses when he's on Pandorum, he gets to know the people. He ends up siding with the people after he's rejected. And he ends up having his own second coming, kind of like a mockery or a mimicry of what happened with Jesus. But what's interesting is there's all these dragons, and he has his own dragon, and there's all these different dragons that the Na'vi people can fly, but they've all got these different colors and, you know, blue and green, and they look kind of like Oriental flags, if you will. But what's interesting is there's no way that they can have victory over these so-called sky people. The sky people are the Americans who've come to rape their planet. There's no way they can have victory because what happens is the sky people begin to just wage an all-out war against the Na'vi people, not trying to work with them to rape their land and what have you, and they try to annihilate them. And what's amazing is there's no way the Na'vi people could possibly win unless someone harnesses the power of the Red Dragon. And when Jake Sully comes back and he has had this change of heart, he mounts this Red Dragon who can only look down because it doesn't need to look up. There's no one higher, supposedly, than the Red Dragon. Once he gets the power of the Red Dragon, he has the power to conquer the Sky People. Now, what's interesting about this is Christians are accused of worshiping the sky god because we believe in God who created the heavens and the earth, who's separate from space and time, and he created the universe, and he's not, you know, germane to the earth, you know. Well, the sky people are the enemies. And Jake Sully leads these earth dwellers against the sky people, but it's not until he gets the power of the red dragon. When he gets the power of this enormous red dragon, now something happens. There's a transformation that takes place. What's interesting, in the book of Revelation, the red dragon, Revelation 12:9 and Revelation 12:3 talk about this this great dragon, this enormous red dragon. He's a picture of Satan in the Bible, and he gives power to the Antichrist. It's not until the Antichrist is able to harness the power of the great red dragon in the Bible that he is able to get power over the people. And what's interesting is, as soon as, you know, the Bible says they worship the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. That's the Antichrist. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? As soon as the people that rejected Jake Sully, the Na'vi people, they see him land on this red dragon, they're amazed, and they begin to worship him and reach out to him and just be in awe of him. Just like the Bible says will happen in the Antichrist. Of course, the red dragon is not literal. It's a picture of the demonic spirit Satan himself. But the imagery is quite amazing, because now he goes to battle against the sky people. And what's interesting, in Revelation 13:4, that's where it says they'll worship him when he gets the power of the dragon. Revelation 12:3-9, it's a red dragon. In Revelation 13:7, it says it was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. So he gets he brings the world together, and he comes against the saints. Right after he gets worshipped, after mounting this red dragon, he gets the power, and the Na'vi people are worshipping him. Then he assembles all the other tribes on Pandora, which hitherto, to that point in the movie, you don't realize there's anybody on Pandora except the Na'vi people. Now you realize there's all these other people that are united into a one-world alliance against the sky people. And then he brings them together and goes to war against the sky people. And the leader of the sky people is, you know, this colonel who's been wounded. The first time he went to Na'vi, he was wounded. He could have had cosmetic surgery because it's projecting the future, but he says he didn't because he wanted to remember his scar from what he went through the first time. I think that's interesting, because the leader of the sky people, the leader of the Lord Jesus Christ, the scriptures say that, you know, we realize when he was crucified, he was wounded. It says when he returns, they'll see him whom they pierced. And so it's interesting, the imagery. I mean, it's kind of hokey that that's even in there. You're like, why does this guy have a scar from his first time? But then when you start realizing there's a lot of biblical imagery being used, you start to wonder, okay, now, did James Cameron consciously do all this, or is he channeling a powerful demon, or what? But it's basically a commercial for the coming Antichrist.
But of course, the colonel apparently is the colonel really sort of a prototype of our Lord Jesus?
Well, they make him like basic Gnostic tales that turn the Lord into this an evil despot, because, you know, the whole New Age Gnostic philosophy is do what thou wilt, and the Gnostics taught that the creator of the physical universe is evil, and his moral restraints are laws that are keeping us from realizing our divinity. Therefore, we must shake off the shackles of this Gnostic bondage and oppose, you know, the creator of the universe. That was the whole Gnostic teaching. And so they actually taught to disobey God's word. That's why Crowley taught, you know, do what thou wilt, you know, shall be the whole of the law. So in this film, the avatar is made to be, you know, the Christ figure. It's all reversed, just like Gnosticism. And this colonel is made to be this, you know, really wicked being, and who you know, just wants to enslave and rape and, you know, rape civilization and what have you. And it's quite, when and I know you understand Gnosticism, Dr. Stan, it's very similar. It's basically a Gnostic tale, you know. It doesn't have the cosmology in that, you know, the colonel's created everything. There's always variations, and they always break down somewhere. But he is the one that needs to be opposed. He's the leader of the sky people. He's the one that was wounded the first time he came and is coming back. It must be defeated by the red dragon-empowered avatar.
Well, Chris, but people don't understand this. Gnosticism, everything that's good is bad. Everything that's bad is good. It's a mirror image of Christianity. And, of course, there are two gods, not one. And there's the God we worship, which they feel is the inferior God, a bad God, and their God is the good God. And their God is Lucifer. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Joe.
That's correct. In Gnosticism, there's, you know, basically there's several eons, but there's two main gods in conflict, and it's, you know, Yahweh, the creator god from the Bible, against, you know, Sophia and the other eons. But depending on what time you're at in Gnostic cosmology, there's different battles going on. But it's interesting because you also have this full-blown idea of an emerging world religion. You know, just like the Antichrist, you know, just every false religion has a false church. And in Revelation, we read about the great harlot, you know, the mother harlots and the abominations of the earth. And in Revelation 17 and 18, there seems to be two things going on there. There seems, especially in chapter 18, to be this, you know, world commerce. This harlot is control of, you know, the finances of the world and what have you. And we see that going on as well. But in Revelation 17, you see more of the religious aspect of the harlot. You see that, you know, she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And throughout the Bible, in fact, it says in Revelation 17, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, of whom the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And she's called Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What's interesting about this abomination, you know, mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, throughout the Old Testament, the abominations and harlotries are identified over and over again as the worship of idols, the worship of things that are made with man's hands. They're considered abominations and harlotries because they worship trees, these kinds of things. God forbids us to worship trees or any other created thing. And often what takes place with the worship of created things is sexual immorality, sexual impurity. In Jeremiah 10, 1 through 8, it condemns the worship of trees. It's interesting, the whore of Babylon, she's depicted as being, you know, scarlet and, you know, purple and gold. And it's interesting, the shaman, the woman that leads the worship of the Awa tree, a lot of the story revolves around this Awa tree, from which come all these different little, you know, spirit entities, pre-incarnated spirits that rest upon Jake Sully to show him that he's going to be the avatar, kind of like his anointing becoming the Christ. This Awa tree is worshipped, and she leads the worship of Awa, which Awa, if you say it in reverse, sounds a lot like Yahweh backwards. So as they worship Awa and they worship this tree, they become, you know, empowered and what have you. And it's interesting because she's dressed in scarlet, you know, she's got a gold band, you know, in her hair. Her eyes roll back at her head at one point in the movie, which is, a common depiction of demon possession, and she convulses, which we also see in demonic possession. That's what shamans do. That's what shamanism is about, is being possessed by the loa, you know, or the spirit. And it's interesting because it's full-blown paganism that people are being indoctrinated into. Now, God did make the trees. Isaiah 48, verse 19 and 20, it says, I will put the cedar in the wilderness, and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive tree. I will place the juniper in the desert, together the box tree and the cypress, that they may see and recognize and consider and gain insight as well, that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. So when we look at the beautiful creation that God has made, we don't worship the creation, we don't worship each other. We should ascribe due glory to the one who created these things and worship God. But Satan's deal is to get people's eyes away from God, away from the Creator, and push pantheism. The worship, you know, pantheism is the worship, is the idea that everything is God and God is everything, and therefore you can worship the things that are made, worship objects.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Okay, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, we're just talking about the Gnostic overtones of the video avatar, and certainly then, of course, this American who is going to become the epitome of the Antichrist, of course, riding on the red dragon, who is Satan. That the average person watching this motion picture, if he does not know the book of Revelation and the other scriptures, he's just going to think it's entertainment. But these ideas are being programmed into his mind, and they're right out of the revelation of John, and of course preparing people for the coming of the Antichrist. Go right ahead.
That's right. In fact, Dr. Stan, a book called Avatar, the Activist Survival Guide, it was given out at the screenings for the movie just before it came out. You know, it embraces clearly a New Agey kind of nature-worshipping pantheistic religion. The book states, quote, they have developed, that's the Navi people, they have developed a vibrant, complex, and sophisticated culture based on a profound spiritual connection to their moon, to one another, and to the encompassing spirit they call Awa. The operative concept of the Navi is balance. Their lives express this balance in body, mind, and spirit. Now, what's amazing is right now, as you know, as we speak, one of the fastest growing religions in America is Wicca. In fact, MTV, which promotes a lot of Wicca, they cited a study that was conducted by, I believe, the City University of New York, and that study stated that Wicca is, quote, one of the fastest growing religions in the United States. Well, Wiccans, they worship the created things. In fact, they took Crowley's maxim. Gerald Gardner, who systemized Wicca, was influenced heavily by Aleister Crowley, and they took the Crowley-like creed, which is the new Wiccan reed called Do What Thou Wilt, Harm Ye None. It sounds a lot like Do What Thou Wilt, Shall Be the Whole of the Law. They got that actually from Crowley. They don't realize they're actually being influenced by Satanism. Wiccans will say, hey, we worship the creation or spirits of trees or what have you, but we don't really worship Satan. Thing is, from Satan's perspective, he doesn't need you to worship him directly. It says in Revelation, when they worship the beast, it says really they're worshiping the dragon. They're worshiping Satan. His objective, again, is to blind people, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Says if our gospel is hid, it's hid because the god of this world, Satan that is, has blinded the minds that believe, of those that believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, whose image of God, should shine unto them. I read an article when I was working on a three-part series I did on Avatar, which is available, Dr. Stan, just if you want to let your folks know, on goodfight.org. I have a three-part series, the Avatar of the Antichrist, the Avatar and the coming the emerging world religion, and also on Avatar with real polluters, Please Stand Up. And we look at the environment, we look at what the Bible really says about the environment. Water, we'd be stewards, we're not to be worshippers of the environment. And the Bible says the real polluters who are polluting the earth, who God will judge in the end times, are those who are polluting the earth morally with corrupting morals, corrupting people with all kinds of, you know, evil vices and immorality.
Joe, is this actually a three-part DVD that you put out?
Yeah, it is. It's three parts, and Avatar, the Coming Antichrist, Avatar, the Coming Emerging, or the Emerging World Religion, and Avatar, Where the Real Polluters Please Stand Up. It's a three-part series, three different teachings where I go in depth. I'm kind of top tip of the iceberg here, but it's kind of, people get the forest here instead of the trees, which is great because you're getting a lot of it in one right now, but I go into a lot of detail, a lot of documentation. But Dr. Stan, I was reading an article at the time when I did that, an article entitled To Sit Out Two Christmas Songs. You know, it was from Amarillo.com, and I read 15-year-old Katarina Keene won't sing along to Silent Night or listen to the stars to sell two Christmas songs planned for her choir upcoming Christmas concert at Borger High School. The story continues and states, as a Wiccan family, the Keens worship Mother Earth. We don't believe in Satanism, Jean Keene said. We worship trees, the solstices, and what have you. So it's interesting, when you look at these movies, you look at what's happening with our youth, it just didn't happen in a vacuum. In fact, it's interesting, MTV admitted that a number of Hollywood movies are promoting the Wiccan religion. In fact, I got a great quote from MTV News. They reported, quote, a surprising number of young witches MTV News spoke with also said that they became curious about their faith through misguiding pop culture fare like the Camp Mevee, a Campbell vehicle, The Craft, and the Harry Potter series. Then they go on to state, this is in my words, this is right from MTV, guess a few conservative Christian groups were right about that one. That would be you, Dr. Stan, myself, and several others.
Well, all we can do is keep trying and let people understand. We certainly are besieged by this on all sides. The Harry Potter series, certainly probably the most popular movie and book series of modern times. What is it doing? It's indoctrinating our youth in witchcraft and the supernatural. And certainly they're even opening a theme park down in Orlando, Harry Potter. And what we're doing, of course, is taking a whole generation of our youth and introducing them to a one-way ticket to hell. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, we have an obligation to get the truth out, and we're going to have to get hold of that DVD on Avatar, and we'll probably be offering it through Radio Liberty as we do with so many of the other things that Joe has put out. We'll be right back. Okay, Joe, you go right ahead there.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, I was just looking at a scripture on the break there that which warns about, you know, how the fact that God is known by the things he's made, it's obvious that he's the creator. And then it warns about those who will worship the creation rather than the creator, and it's in Romans 1, 18 and following. For the wrath of God, it says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. So he establishes that people not worshiping the one true creator are without excuse. And he talks about, it goes on to say, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to become wise, they became fools. Sounds like an awful lot of professors in a lot of the universities today that teach materialistic evolution and what have you. And they exchanged the glory of the corruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The Bible warns about the antediluvian period where people turned away from the one true God and began to worship the creation. And what's remarkable about this text, Paul goes on to say that this led to all kinds of sexual perversions. In verse 26, the very next verse, he says, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. The same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. He goes on to talk about how they didn't see the fit to acknowledge the Lord and what have you. It's interesting, a book I was reading recently, John S. Oswald, in his 2009 book entitled The Bible Among the Myths, talks about how the mother goddess, like this Awa tree...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Joe was just talking about a book that he was just finishing reading, going into the background of the mother goddess. But before we get to that, Joe, I want you to get your website and your information out. People know how to get in touch with your ministry. And is that three sections on one DVD as far as Avatar? Is that three separate DVDs?
I think they might have put on an MP3. I don't know for sure, but it's three distinct teachings on Avatar.
Okay.
One on the Antichrist and emerging world religion, and the real polluters, please stand up. It's had an incredible effect by the people that have heard it, people that saw me give it for the first time. A lot of people have been passing out like hotcakes because it's such a big movie, and it's a great way to show people what's going on. It's like, wow. Because I haven't had one person that's heard the DVD, heard the series, come to me and say, no, it doesn't fit, doesn't make sense. All of them are usually, you know, saucer-eyed saying, wow, you know? Pretty amazing. So our website is goodfight.org.
Goodfight.org.
One word, goodfight, yeah, .org.
And whereabouts is your church down there?
We're in Simi Valley, California, just outside of the greater L.A. area, San Fernando Valley area, just outside of San Fernando Valley in Ventura County is a church called Blessed Hope Chapel. Been pastoring for going on 20 years there.
So time passes fast. Okay,
it sure does.
Okay, fine. When you get back, you were talking about this book you were reading, getting into this worship of the goddess.
Yeah, I was mentioning the Bible warns about the worship of this great harlot, this mother goddess, and it worships, you know, this false religious system, the mother harlots and the abominations of the earth. And it's interesting because when you look at harlots and abominations, harlotries and abominations, in the Old Testament and in the New, and you look at, you tie the scriptures together, you see that it has to do with worshiping created things. And then since there's no accountability because you're not worshiping the one true God, you can kind of make up your own rules. Therefore, there's all kinds of perverse acts involved in this worship. And it's interesting. We just read Romans 1:18 through about 27, 28 or so. And Paul mentions the worship of the creation again. And then he mentions these perverse acts, you know, homosexuality and what have you, that go along with the worship of created things. Well, I was reading in John Oswald's 2009 book, The Bible Among the Myths, and he talks about how the worship of the cult of the mother goddess was, quote, represented by figurines and drawings in which the physical sexual features of the goddess are exaggerated, sometimes grossly, goes on to say a little further down, the practice of ritual prostitution was far from the only expression of sexuality in connection with the cult. Incest, bestiality, homosexual prostitution were also practiced. Juvenal, the Roman writer, who was hardly a prude, refers to the temples as cesspools where every corruption was practiced. Now, I just think it's interesting when we look at a return to paganism, that's what's happening with, there's a moral breakdown of our nation as well. And what's really tragic, Dr. Stan, is when you watch this movie, you see all these young people. It is such a bombardment of the senses because of 3D animation and IMAX especially. And it's a bombardment of the senses for nearly 3 hours to where paganism is made to look beautiful. It's not realistic. We know the history of, for instance, the greatest, it's put in the context of an American Indian kind of mentality, as though it was that was a beautiful thing that we've lost. And what's interesting is many scholars will point out, and history tells us, a movie that was a lot closer to the reality of how a lot of these tribes worshipped was Mel Gibson's, his movie that he did on Indians and what have you, American Indians. The Aztecs, the Mayans, the Incas, they all engaged in mass human sacrifice. It's a known fact. And I'm talking about the movie Apocalypto, done by Mel Gibson. I'm not promoting Mel Gibson's works, but that movie actually shows a lot of mass Mayan sacrifice. And we know the Aztecs sacrificed even more people, and the Incas as well. They sacrificed many people. And that's what you don't see in this movie. You see it as though, hey, it was this, this benign, very loving, worship the tree kind of religion where let's all hug the trees and get along and just get rid of the sky god, and then we'll be all at peace. But it's such a lie. And it's a lie that's been promoted, as you know, by Al Gore as well, and many leading, some leading politicians that have, in Earth in the Balance, the book that Gore wrote some years ago, he suggests that we return to the worship of, of nature, and he upholds the Native American religions as a model. And it's interesting because when you look at what Al Gore wrote, you think you're reading, something written by a pagan priest. He quotes the Hindu dictum, the earth is our mother, and we are all her children, page 161. He talks about how, there's this unity that's going on and that he states that, he sounds a lot more like a Wiccan goddess worshiper than a politician even at that point. But listen to this quote. He states that he blames Christianity for the demise of goddess worship, the sky god, right? He says, the spiritual sense of our place in nature, he said, it can be traced to our origins of human civilization. A growing number of anthropologists and archaeologists, archaeomythologists, he argues that our prevailing ideology of belief in prehistoric Europe and much of the world was based on the worship of a single earth goddess who was assumed to be the fount of all life and who radiated harmony among all living things. Goes on a little further down to say, the last vestige of organized goddess worship was eliminated by Christianity. He goes on to say a little further down after that, it seems obvious that a better understanding of a religious heritage preceding our own by so many thousands of years could offer us new insights. So he's promoting the worship of the goddess. He seems to have forgotten, because he claims to be a Baptist, the first of the Ten Commandments, which says, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the likeness of what is in heaven or above in the earth, beneath the water, under the earth, and it goes on, of course. The Bible says, flee idolatry, keep yourselves from idols. But it's full-blown pagan worship. It's being promoted in the UN. In fact, Dr. Stan, Lynn White, I've got things I read where, PETA-type activists talk about, going out to the hunting grounds and bagging a beer drink or beer-bellied hunter, pretending that you're hunting and what have you, or Lynn White in his Historical Roots of Ecological Crisis. He writes that Christianity is absolute contrast to ancient paganism and ancient religions, and he insists that it is God's will that, in the Bible, that we exploit nature for its proper ends. But not only those guys, you have the UN Convention of Biological Diversity concluded in their global biodiversity assessment that pagan religions, they say, like Hinduism and Buddhism, are friendly to the environment, where they go on to state that conversion to Christianity They said it has meant an abandonment of an affinity with the natural world for many forest dwellers, peasants, fishers, all over the world. What they don't point out is that a proper use of the Earth's resources has saved millions and millions of these people in these various religions. But John Holdren, Obama's science czar, he wrote equally disturbing words in his book, Ecoscience, where he blames Christians, Dr. Stan, and Christian doctrine for lack of care of the environment. In fact, he writes, and I quote from page 807 of Ecoscience, "The Christian concept of life in this world, as voiced by St. Paul, that here we have no abiding city, for example, conceivably could help explain why some people show rather little concern for the long-term future of the global environment or for the well-being of future generations." Now, it's interesting, that's the same Holdren on the same book where he talks about a planetary regime, a mass sterilization of certain mothers, page 786, page 787. He concludes in page 837 of Ecoscience that, quote, "compulsory population control laws, even including laws requiring compulsory abortion, could be sustained under the existing constitution," which is a lie, "if the population crisis became sufficiently severe to endanger the society." This is crazy because we're talking about Christians being the villains, the UN, PETA, John Holdren, Al Gore, Christianity being responsible for the demise of you know, the worship of the Earth goddess. And then you look at the most powerful movie ever put out just, you know, a couple months back here, and we're talking about, or a few months ago, we're talking about a mass movement toward the worship of the Earth goddess and a perpetuation of antagonism toward Christianity.
Well, I've always said that there is a conspiracy against God. There's a conspiracy against Christianity. That's why they took God out of our prayers, out of our schools, and the Ten Commandments out. They knew what they were doing. Isn't it a shame the Christians have never figured it out?
I'm sorry, I missed your last line. Shame what?
Well, I just said, isn't it a shame that the average Christian has never figured out that this is not, has nothing to do with the Constitution. It has to do with the fact that there is really a conspiracy against God.
That's 100% correct. In fact, right now within the Christian church, you have what's called the emerging church movement, which is very much into, you know, getting into, hey, you know, Jesus didn't really come to pay the price for our sins, to die on the cross in our place. In fact, some of their leaders, like Brian McLaren, who's considered the new thought leader of the emerging church, he comes out and has made references. He calls, you know, Christ's death on the cross cosmic child abuse, you know, by the Father, if Christ died for our sins. And but what do they push? They say, well, really, Christ's mission was to redeem the planet, was to save the earth. It was part of his mission. And when we read the Bible, it's very clear. I mean, Christians of all people should have a right perspective here. We understand that God created the earth, therefore we're to be good stewards of it. We're not to pollute, and we're supposed to be thankful, and Christians of all people should be thankful to our Creator for what he's made. However, it's abuse and misuse of creation to worship the creation. And that actually, according to the Bible, that's what brings judgment. That's what brings, you know, horrible things on the planet is defiance of God and worship of the creation. The real polluters are those who worship, as that's a whole other study, is the worship, are those who worship the creation and worship themselves and those who practice immorality. There's all kinds of sexually transmitted sins. There's all kinds of pollution going on because of alcohol, abuse of alcohol, various drugs. A lot of these same things that are pushed by Wiccans, a lot of these same things that are engaged in by Wiccans are polluting the human body, polluting society, and breaking down the morals and filling our prisons. And people have got it backwards. But the thing is, it's all about getting our eyes off of God from the agenda that you mentioned. It is a satanic conspiracy to get people to cease to worship God, to cease to recognize and value true freedom, first of all, spiritual, that comes through death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and also the freedom that many people shed their blood for here in this nation, so we could be free. And what's happening now is everything's being turned around. And one of the emphases you do have in the movie Avatar is this whole communal thing, where if we just all get along and worship the goddess, we'll be one. And we're seeing all this take place not only through this particular movie, but there's a host of movies that are propagating things. But as you know, Dr. Stan, it is a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual witness in high places. So there is a concerted effort to deceive the masses. And thankfully, at this time in our country, we still have enough freedom to speak the truth and to stand up for the truth. But I hope and pray that your audience and people in your audience, and I know there's a lot of active people in your audience, take a stand and they share what they're learning with others so other people could become aware of what's going on. Because too many people, as you know, and as you've stated, the average Christian doesn't have a clue as to what's going on.
Well, you know, Joe, I've been at this for going on 48 years, I think June 2nd, somewhere there. And really, I see more and more awareness now of the response we're getting from our radio programs. It's really tremendous, people all over the country listening. More and more people are beginning to see it and begin to be able to focus on what's going on, to be able to connect the dots. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. We're certainly still a minority, but there is a growing awareness there.
Man, that's really good to hear. I'm excited about that as well. I do run into a lot of people, not a lot meaning the majority, but there are people that are in the know, and there are more and more people that want to know what's going on. And the Bible, it says that in the last days, the book of Daniel, that people will be going to and fro, and knowledge will increase. And most people interpret that phrase, to and fro and knowledge increasing, being air travel and, you know, cars and knowledge, meaning the exponential growth of knowledge that we see with the computer age and what have you. But biblically, I don't know that that is the correct interpretation, because that phrase, to and fro, is used of searching in the Old Testament. And knowledge increasing, in the context that we read that in Daniel 12, is of an awareness of spiritual truth and the reality of what's going on in the last days, that those who know their God will do mighty exploits, and they'll come to a knowledge of what's going on with regard to the last days deceptions. It's in that context where it says many will go to and fro. I believe that means to look for truth, and knowledge will increase. They'll become more aware of what's going on with regard to the deception. Now, that's not the world at large, because the Bible says that in the last days, terrible times will come, and people will be ever learning, yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the lost world system. But at the same time, God's remnant, those who love and fear Him, they'll praise God. I mean, there's going to be those who are aware of what's happening and are prepared for what's going to take place, and will stand fast for their God.
I really do believe we're moving into exciting times, very exciting times. I think everything is in place now for the coming of the Antichrist. I don't know how he's going to come. I don't know when he's going to come. But everything seems to be falling into place. Now, we're told that the man of sin will not come until there's been a great falling away. And certainly, even though I do see some people coming to have an understanding of what's going on, there also is a great falling away at the present time. And so many of it, young people getting trapped into these various forms of idolatry and certainly accepting the New Age teachings. So, and then, but certainly, I think as the economy gets worse, as we begin moving into this war in the Middle East, how soon it's coming, I don't know, but there's no question in my mind. We're being prepared to go to war with the Muslim world, and may heaven help us when that happens.
Yes, you mentioned the great falling away, and we read in the Greek apostasia, the word apostasia means to defect, to depart, and the only other time it's used there, in 2 Thessalonians 2, that Christ won't come until there's a falling away, apostasia first, and the man of sin be revealed, the Antichrist comes first, it says. But that same Greek word is only used one other time in the New Testament, and it's used in the book of Acts of a defection from faith. And you have Jesus said that, you know, they'll deliver you up to be killed, and many will fall away at that time. That's the word scandalizo in the Greek. That's also a falling away that he talked about, and that's the same period of time at the end. And Paul said some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, 1 Timothy 4:1, and Jesus said some very sobering words. He says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? And that's that verse right there, when I read that, I can contemplate that verse. It's, Lord, that's sad, that will I find the faith on the earth? Thankfully, we've been given the book Revelation, and there is a great multitude that no man can number that come out of the end time difficulties with their robes clean by the blood of Christ. So,
I think it's so vitally important that really the work that you're doing, Joe, is to help people to understand a movie like The Avatar. You know, people could watch it, But if they're not really deeply schooled in the Gospels and the Word of God, they would miss a lot of this. They don't know the revelation. They would not understand the significance of the great red dragon. And, of course, then the idea that, of course, this fellow is going to be able to get onto the red dragon. And, of course, then the people will follow him, of course, that being the epitome of the coming of the Antichrist. So when you point it out to people, it suddenly becomes very apparent. We'll be right back. Well, Joe, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Well, I just want to thank you, Dr. Stan, for the work that you do. I know you, there's so many people that you get blessed. I think the first time I heard about you was from my dad. And he was, and I was trying to share truth with him, and he's definitely has an idea of what's going on and political level, but he didn't see the big spiritual side of it. And when I heard he was listening to you, I thought, that's great. That he's an older man. He's in his 80s now. And I thought, you know, it's great that he's listening to Dr. Stan, because he'll get some of the political side, but there's rarely people who put together the political and the spiritual and see how, you know, this, you know, how it all fits together. So I commend you for your work, and I just hope keep up the good work.
Well, I just hope one day he comes to accept a personal relationship with our Lord. That's all we can hope for.
Well, he did recently. He was in the hospital, and he did pray, you know, to turn to the Lord, and God knows his heart, and we're just going from there. But we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, suddenly it's hard, you know, to give yourself over to the Lord and just say, I'm going to leave it to you, because there's nothing I can do about it. This stage of things, and please help straighten these things out. And now, God doesn't always do it necessarily the way that we want it done, but he does it the way that it should be done for us. And I've seen his hand over and over again, and as Benjamin Franklin said, and he was really an old scoundrel, but some of the things he said were really very profound, and one of them was, you know, suddenly the longer I live, the more convinced I am of this fact, that God rules in the affairs of men, and if a sparrow cannot fall without his knowledge, can a great empire be raised without his blessing? Well, we don't want an empire, but I think we have to realize that God does rule in the affairs of men, and all we can do is keep exclaiming that, certainly professing that, and hope that people out there will listen.
You know what, Dr. Stan, based on that, if we didn't understand and believe and know that he ultimately wins in the end, and we just read the end of the book, the end of Revelation, and he has a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be great, and the scriptures say that all the power of the nations, and all their majesty and all their might, think of those old red Soviet Union marches, you know, says that their power is like a drop in the bucket and less than nothing to God. So our God reigns. Amen.
Amen to that. Well, God bless. Thanks very much, Joe. It's always good to hear from you, and certainly I'm so glad to bring us up on Avatar. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie now. Now I'll understand what it's about.
Great.
God
Great
bless.
Great talking to you, Dr. Stan.
Hey,
thanks
so much. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. Fine. Well, that was Joe Schimmel. We do hope that you, of course, enjoyed that, and we're probably going to go ahead and get his three-part series. Probably his just talking about Avatar, although he usually has a lot of interesting clips in there. We'll have to see it, and perhaps we'll be offering it to Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 or 1-800-5-HIV. War, like the war we're in. And Sydney, you can subscribe to the Radio Liberty family, or you can subscribe to the newsletter, whatever you'd like to do. And if you're not in a position to help, we ask you to then pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and for our protection. Well, we do carry Sydney Joe Schimmel's excellent DVD of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. There's a 3-hour version, a 4-hour version, and a 10-hour version. 10-hour version, you heard me right. And let me tell you, when you've watched that, you'll never look at the world or listen to music through the same ears again. You'll really be amazed at what Joe's done. He's done a great job. And we have a number of other DVDs he's put out there. And you call our exchange or go up on our website. And Sydney, we carry a number of Joe's DVDs because we really think this information is important. Another excellent series that we carry is Pastor Billy Crone's The Final Countdown. And it's 10 DVDs, 10 sermons, and of course each one ends with an invitation to come into a personal relationship with our Lord. But Pastor Crone does a great job because he takes all the prophecies from the Bible and puts them together in these 10 lectures, and you can see how everything that was prophesied is coming to pass today. There's a book, certainly the same material there. Certainly we even have 5 DVDs, which is the first half of the talk. It's called the Countdown to Armageddon, Countdown to Armageddon. But the Final Countdown certainly is the DVD series. You can get part 1 or part 2 or get them all, both part 1 and part 2 together at a reduced cost. We think it's something very important. We also carry Pastor Crone's Scientific Creationism. It's a 10 DVD series. And his 4 DVD series, and incidentally he'll be coming back with us to wrap this up on RFID identification. And this is the most amazing set of DVDs because Pastor Crone has gotten all the videos from the people who manufacture the RFID chips, and they tell you exactly what they can do with them and what they want to do with them. So you'll be fascinated by the 4 DVD set by Pastor Crone on RFID. Now, of course, we have the book by Dr. Catherine Albrecht, on spy chips. We have a 4-tape set on spy chips. We have the video, and it's called, and I can never, The Shadow Government. Dr. Albrecht was actually the consultant for that, The Shadow Government's excellent DVD, and Sydney has a lot of information that you need to know and to get to your friends. You have to let them understand not only what's happening politically and financially, but you have to let them understand what is happening spiritually, because if you can't put things together from a spiritual point of view, nothing makes sense, and really there's very, very little hope for the world as we see it, of simply descending into financial chaos and into war. But our job is to get people to see how it all fits together. And, of course, that's what my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, does. That's what my talk on the secret or the forbidden secret, they're both on DVD. There's a syllabus that goes with them. We have a talk on the financial Armageddon. Tells you how these wicked people who control the Federal Reserve System brought about this whole financial collapse. And if you think things are getting better, you've been listening to the television too much, basically. We have a little repast, but the whole world financial system is collapsing. We're losing more jobs every month. More and more people are losing their homes. Certainly the only reason that things look a little bit better is because they're manipulating the stock market, and they put trillions of dollars into the economy. But when this whole house of cards comes down, they destroy the value of our currency. They will impoverish most of the people in America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.